It was all about the September non-farm jobs report, and it was a doozy. Welcome back to the business news headlines for Friday, the 6th day of October. Glad you're with us. In other news, what this job report may mean to the central bank. Also, we'll have a report from WalletHub about credit cards and debt. There's some new news about the UAW strike that we've got to share with you. What's with Georgia and medical pot? We'll share that bit of news. We've got the Wall Street Report, and guess what? PayPal heads to court. Let's go.
Insight on business news and comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Grateful, as always, that you're with us again today. Programming reminder that Insight on Business, the News Hour Week in Review, is back on Sunday, noon Central Time, and yes, we do stream. Hey, if you want to connect with us on Twitter, now known as X, you can find us at IOB_NewsHour, and over at Threads, it's Insight on Business. The September jobs report was, in a word, stunning. In total, the U.S. added a whopping 336,000 non-farm jobs this past month. That blew the lid off of what was projected, and it was the strongest showing in the job market since January. Businesses across the U.S. economy ramped up their hiring, defying surging interest rates, financial market turmoil, the ongoing threat of a government shutdown, and an uncertain outlook. The 336,000 jobs that were added in September exceeded the 227,000 for August and raised the average gain for the past 3 months to a robust 266,000 jobs. The unemployment rate was unchanged at 3.8%, not far above a half-century low. Speaking after the September hiring data was released, President Joe Biden asserted that the robust jobs growth is a result of his policies, a message he has repeated in speeches ahead of next year's elections. When employers added just 105,000 jobs back in June, economists had expected further modest gains to come. Instead, hiring has rebounded strongly. So the question is, why? Well, the Associated Press is reporting that millions of people have started job hunting in the past year, pulled into the job market by strong demand for workers and higher pay. Others have likely been drawn in by financial stress they feel from higher prices out there. Immigration has also rebounded after COVID-era restrictions were lifted. As a result, more workers are available to fill millions of open jobs. This trend has lessened the labor shortage that many employers complained about since the recovery from the 2020 pandemic and enabled some companies to finally catch up to their previous employment levels. For example, in September, restaurants and bars added 61,000 positions, finally restoring their pre-pandemic levels of payrolls. It would seem that the markets liked the jobs report, as the major indexes all ended the day in the green, and I'll have those numbers for you in just a bit. While the markets went up on Friday, many investors are now concerned that the stunning jobs report will cause the Fed to continue raising interest rates in November or December. In the past, Chair Jerome Powell has said that slowing inflation back to the Fed's 2% target will require pain in the labor market. Well, so far, there's been little to no such pain. Inflation has, however, eased, coming down to 3.7% in August, but that's still a long way from the Fed target. Still, the long-term interest rates for housing and credit cards continues to create pain for the consumer, and that consumer, you're right, that would be us. Speaking of credit cards, WalletHub has just released a study that focused on the Federal Reserve data on credit. at 22.77%, the average credit card interest rate for existing accounts is higher than it's been in the past 30 years. Record high rates are costing consumers more than $163 billion on an annual basis. Increase in debt, but it's not necessarily a record. The $1.23 trillion in credit card debt that we've racked up as of August 2023 is 10% lower than the record for the month, but still 7% higher than last year after adjusting for inflation. The wise word for people is to pay down their credit as soon as possible, because carrying a balance at an interest rate of nearly 23% can mean economic disaster for your family. Well, we've got news for you about the labor strike by the UAW against the big three automakers from Detroit. The Associated Press is reporting that the United Auto Workers Union said on Friday it will not expand its strikes against Detroit's three automakers after General Motors made a breakthrough concession on unionizing electric vehicle battery plants. Union President Sean Fain told workers in a video appearance that additional plants could be added to the strikes later. But the announcement of the pause in expanding the strikes came shortly after GM agreed to bring electric vehicle battery plants into the UAW's national contract, essentially assuring that they will be unionized. Fain, wearing a T-shirt that said, "Eat the Rich," in bold letters, by the way, said GM's move will change the future of the union and the auto industry. He said GM made the change after the union threatened to strike a plant in Arlington, Texas, that makes highly profitable large SUVs. Shares of all three automakers rose after Fain's announcement in apparent anticipation that deals might be near. GM shares ended Friday almost up by 2%, Stellantis added 3%, and Ford rose just under 1%. Soon, folks in Georgia will be able to purchase medical marijuana at their local drugstore. It's a first in all of the United States. The AP is reporting that the Georgia Board of Pharmacy began accepting applications this week, and nearly 120 pharmacies have agreed to provide medication from Botanical Sciences, one of the state's two licensed production companies. It will likely take a few weeks before medical marijuana is available in pharmacies. After they submit applications, inspections will be required before the board grants approval. Medical marijuana is only available to Georgians with approval from a physician to treat severe illnesses, including seizures, terminal cancers, Parkinson's disease, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Low THC oil can contain no more than 5% THC. That's the compound that gives users a high. Well, as we reported, it looks like investors took in the high-flying jobs report with enthusiasm. The Dow came off Thursday's lackluster trade to gain 288 points on Friday and close at 33,407. The Nasdaq picked up 211 points to close out the week at 13,431, and the S&P 500 added a whopping 50 points to end the trade at 4308. For the week, the Dow slipped by 0.3%, while the S&P 500 edged upwards by 0.5%, and the Nasdaq gained 1.6%. The Dow fell for a third straight week, while the S&P 500 snapped a four-week losing streak, and the Nasdaq saw back-to-back weekly gains. One of the changes in the job report was the fact that wage growth has slowed a bit. Investors are worried that continued wage growth could push inflation higher, which would then lengthen the Fed's interest rate hikes. And by the way, West Texas Intermediate crude gained 48 cents on the day to $82.79 a barrel. And finally, there is this, and this is about a federal class action suit against PayPal. The lawsuit filed in California accuses PayPal of violating U.S. antitrust laws. The complaint, which was brought by the consumer rights law firm Hagens Berman, argues that anti-steering provisions in PayPal's merchant agreements stifle competition and raise prices for consumers. Under the merchant contracts, retailers that accept PayPal as a payment method are allegedly barred from presenting other payment methods earlier in the checkout process and from allowing consumers to pay less if checking out via other payment methods, even if such methods are less expensive. The suit is the latest in a wave of ongoing antitrust activity aimed at big tech, including the Federal Trade Commission's recently filed lawsuit against Amazon and a Google trial that's now in its third week. Meanwhile, Visa's anti-steering agreements with PayPal have reportedly attracted scrutiny from the Justice Department's antitrust division. So there may be more forthcoming. Well, that's a wrap for the business news headlines. A reminder once again that we're back with the Business Week in Review on News Talk 1540 KXCL, noon Central Time on that station. By the way, we do stream, so you can catch the best news of the past week right there. All right, take care of yourself. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Have a great weekend.